www.thebigradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vafidez.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
We're here. That's right. It is PWP Radio. Once again, live every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. This is episode 1000 or something like that. It's been a long, we've had so many episodes. We are Pro Wrestling Powerhouse here at blogtalkradio.com. You must be asking yourself, what the hell is Pro Wrestling Powerhouse? Well, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com is an article and news website, mostly articles to talk about predictions, what's going on in the industry. And boy, last week we had a big conversation with Chris Benoit last week, I think. I don't even remember, but it was a big conversation. Got a lot of great hits, a lot of great feedback. We want to thank you fans for joining us. But tonight, you can call into the show. We got a Raw breakdown, some Impact Wrestling. We got some WWE action and Money in the Bank predictions. You can call in 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWP Radio on Twitter, and you may get your tweet live on the air. That's a big honor, all right? And we'll retweet it if we have to. So we are live now, and I have to bring on the usual co-host, the always positive man here for the WWE, Mr. Toph. How you doing, Toph?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How you doing tonight, man?
I can tell in the sound of your voice that you are so excited that Jay is not here tonight because for some odd reason, he'd rather go to a Phillies game.
Like a hockey game?
No, Phillies is a baseball team, sir.
Oh, baseball. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I follow
baseball
NBA.
Is a sport where you use a bat and then you try to hit the ball and eventually.
Oh, like using the outfield, like the Angels and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like Angels in the outfield, and real Angels are out there every night trying to help the Phillies win, but it just never happens.
Yeah, and Danny Glover's not there either, is he?
And Danny Glover, if you have Danny Glover and Tony Danza on your team, with Christopher Lloyd being the Angel, who knows how the hell he died? But the point is that they're out there somewhere, but they ain't helping.
Hey, people have their things. I mean, from what I understand, CM Punk and Christian are huge baseball fans. Kind of weird, but hey.
Yes. And Chicago won in hockey, so the Blackhawks won, so CM Punk probably is pretty happy about that.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, he's tweeted that during Raw. So, anyway, let's get up to the positive stuff. You know, I'm pretty good tonight. I had a drink of wine, so I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I got B4W coming up this week, Saturday night in Morganville, 7 p.m. Tickets are available at brookwood4.com. You can check us out there, and we had a great interview last week about, and they even cut a promo on Will Brooks. So, everything was good last week. Hope really cares. Okay. So, what was that?
I said good stuff, good stuff.
Absolutely it was. So, let's talk about what happened last night. Monday Night Raw, Big Raw, the go-home show. A lot of big stuff was happening on this Raw before even the Raw occurred. We knew about Vicky Guerrero's evaluation. We knew it was the last show before Money in the Bank. We knew the Wyatt family was going to debut on this evening. So a lot of big things were going into this show and the last stare down between Mark Henry and John Cena. So, Toph, let's break it down. Let's talk about some of the big moments. We'll start hot right away. We'll talk right away about the Wyatt family. I will give my opinion right after yours, but please tell us, what did you think of the Wyatt family entry? Let's talk about the packages throughout the entire night. Talk about the entrance. Talking about the attack on Kane. The whole thing, the whole night, what did you think of it?
Oh, the one thing WWE does that I will give them for is that they use their packaging pretty well, you know, whenever just simple stuff. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I was looking forward to Val Venus. I was looking forward to Chris Jericho. WWE has always been good at, you know, building up these guys with these packages. And so by the time they debut, you already know who they are. And that's something that other organizations have never really been doing. As far as the Wyatt family goes, For me, it just became clear the limitations of the PG era. I thought the packaging was great. The little montage videos they showed were great. You know, I thought it was really neat how the lights went out, and, you know, he had the little lantern thing, and he blew it out. That was cool. The wheelchair, you know, while he was watching Kane get beat down by the other two dudes, you know, that was cool. But the actual beatdown itself was just very tame. To me, these are moments where the limitations of the PG era are very apparent. Had this been the Attitude era or maybe even the Ruthless Aggression era, they could have done more to make a statement. See, I was thinking, a lot of people were telling me, like, okay, well, Toph, what do you think they could have done to really, like, make an impact? Why not take Kane's mask? You know, that's never happened to them before. Hmm. Why not take his mask and make him bleed or something? That would have been really different. I mean, basically, it was just two guys. They beat him down. And, you know, we got a steel step spot that we've seen several times, you know. But I thought the debut itself was great. Just the beat down was just very generic. You know, for me, I think that if that same faction, if the Wyatt family, if they existed in the Attitude Era or in more riskier times, they could have gotten away with stuff. But, you know, I thought the debut itself, it was fine. Definitely easily one of the better debuts in this PG era that we live in today.
Well, Toph voiced his opinion. I have a call on the line. I'm going to take it right away. Mr. or Mrs. 204, you are on the phone right now. State your name and where you're calling from.
Well, I think I was on your show last time, if it's Tommy Lee Dangerously co-hosting, but it's Jordan Garber, the owner of Wrestling World 247, the 17-year-old interviewing sensation. What's up, guys?
Oh, hey, man. Thanks for calling again.
What's up? I just thought I would bring up my opinion
GLB's
on the
GLB's in charge now, Jordan. You got to learn all the rules. I know Toph knows the rules.
What do you mean by the rules?
Make sure you always promote me.
Oh, I'll promote you all the time. I'll put your name up on my event.
Yes. Good. Excellent. Thank you.
Because I appreciate you guys helping me out.
Yeah, absolutely. We always enjoy other people from other federations, promotions, always coming on the phone to join us here for PWP Radio. But right now, we're going to talk about the Wyatt family. Toph voiced his opinion on that. Jordan, what was your opinion of the entire Wyatt family?
This segment was really cool. I liked how the entrance was perfect. The song got you in the vibe, and when it just stopped and they attacked Kane, it was genius. I thought that was a great storyline idea. That's going to be a good feud.
Yeah, you know, what I liked about that entire thing was on the attack and everything, you know, but you know, it's really tough. I mean, you know, you have to put the whole thing together as one package, not judge it only just on, you know, the attack on Kane. There's got to be more to come with Kane, but we'll talk about that in a second. But right now on the line, I got another phone call. My God, see, people call me when TLD's hosting, people want to call in. John, you are on the line with PWP Radio.
What's up, dude?
Dude, I am fine. I had a drink of wine. I got wrestling this week. Talk about the Wyatt family on Raw. What were your thoughts about it?
I thought it was great. I thought it was well done. I liked the fact that I actually liked the attack on Kane. But I know a lot of people, I don't know, I know I missed the first few minutes. I don't know if anyone on right now is on the bandwagon thinking that it's going to be the Wyatt family versus Kane and Taker at SummerSlam. I'm actually of the other mindset that it'll probably be Kane versus Wyatt at SummerSlam, with Kane putting Wyatt over, which will really just catapult Wyatt really up the chain. I thought the promos throughout the night were phenomenal. And the only thing more so that was a little alarming to me than the Husky Harris chance, like, you're going to get that. Tenzai's always going to get Albert chance, you know. Kane's going to get Dentist chance here and there. It's not the Husky Harris chance that bothered me. The fact is, when they came out, they got a pop, and they got a big pop.
They did.
It wasn't just like the smart wrestling fans, like, the, you know, it seemed like it was the entire crowd popped for them, and that's what's a little concerning to me. I'm sure taking out a guy like Kane was a step in the right direction to get them heat. You gotta beat up the faces the next couple of weeks, you know, even if it's some of the lower level guys, you know. doesn't have to be all the high-end guys. Like, next week doesn't have to be Christian. But, you know, just have these guys annihilate guys and take guys out. That will change that. But, yeah, and, you know, like I said, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I could see Kane Wyatt at SummerSlam, Wyatt going over. And I wrote an article about 2 weeks ago on the main site where I actually have Wyatt as a dark horse candidate to fight Taker at WrestleMania. So destroying Kane at SummerSlam would be the perfect way to segue that to lead him to Taker.
Well, I think we're going to leave that probably the Undertaker at WrestleMania at the end, because we got to talk a little bit about TNA, because there was some big news throughout the week. Here's my take on it. I think that the Lantern entrance was so unique, so different. We've seen that with the urn before with the Undertaker, which, you know, we haven't seen in a long time, but it was a different approach to it. These guys are legit scary. These guys you do not want to mess with. I didn't realize how tall these guys really were when they had Kane in the ring. You know, I think Kane has been a comedy character for so long in the last year or two with Team Hell No and everything he's been doing. This could be a step in the right direction to bring Kane back to that monster role. I think the way they used the stairs to take out Kane was really good. The question is Kane going to make it to Money in the Bank? Because he wasn't involved at the end of the show. And a lot of people are speculating that they think Kane will be out of this match and perhaps there's a replacement. Not to say the Wyatt family will be replacing him, but there could be a lot of other names that could be involved. So, Tope, do you think Kane will be at Money in the Bank?
Yeah, he'll be there. And I don't agree with them debuting the Wyatt family on a go-home show. That's just stupid.
Ah, yes. That I agree with totally. That was the problem. Don't you think that they were putting more hype in the Wyatt family than they were Money in the Bank? That's a question for you, Tulsa.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Oh, Jesus. I said, do you think that the Wyatt family was more important right now than Money in the Bank pay-per-view, the go-home show? Because as far as I'm concerned, they sold me on the Money in the Bank. I bought a ticket. I'm going. You know, so for me, I was already sold on the idea before this week. So to me, I didn't care about the Wyatt family being one of the biggest things and the whole thing about the Raw GM. I think Money in the Bank for myself, I was already sold on it from week one. Toph, what about you? Were you thinking that they pushed too much of the Wyatt family tonight and they could have waited on that another week? Or do you
I agree. They waited too. They did it too soon. When I heard the Wyatt family was going to debut this week, the first thing that came to my mind, I don't know if you guys remember, but way back in 2011, this was the last draft, as it turns out to be. Do you remember, like, right before the Extreme Rules pay-per-view, and it was like the go-home show to
yes.
the Extreme Rules was
that.
The draft. And it was like, why would you have the draft on the go-home show when you should be promoting? It was so strange because the big story should have been pushing not Randy Orton, it should have been pushing Dario versus Christian, but instead they were pushing Randy Orton and all these guys going to SmackDown. It was just so strange. They were pushing the draft so much, you forgot that Extreme Rules was on Sunday. So I guess in retrospect, seeing what happened that next week with, you know, Christian dropping it in just 2 days really wasn't that surprising. I felt the Wyatt family thing could have waited. I felt like they could have did that the night after Money in the Bank. That's always the best time to debut a new talent. I didn't agree with them being there at the go-home show. What really made me annoyed is, what does that do for Kane? I mean, we know Kane's not going to win anyway, but when you're building a match, you should always want to have your matches full of believable winners, and so you have Kane just destroyed by these new guys. So that doesn't really do anything if you're a Kane fan, like, oh, great, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I mean, unless the Wyatt family could get involved in that match. Jordan, you're the promoter here. I mean, so let's get your take on it and see what you think about the way they went on the view of the Wyatt family, the go-home show of Money in the Bank. Do you think that was a good decision?
I agree. They could have waited till the day after, because then there would be something fans would look forward to after Money in the Bank, because maybe sometimes after a pay-per-view is over, it's like, eh, like, what else now? Like, what's next, right? If they debuted the Wyatt family, it would have even got a bigger pop.
Well, do you think that the Money in the Bank pay-per-view has already been sold to you, that this week it wouldn't have mattered what they did? You were already going to buy the pay-per-view.
The pay-per-view convinced me enough because of Rob Van Dam. Even though he's a bit older now, the Rob Van Dam return pretty much said, okay, I'm going to get Money in the Bank. If there wasn't Rob Van Dam, they would debut the Wyatt family at SummerSlam. That would be my best guess. But Rob Van Dam's debuting, so I think it's all good.
Yeah, you know, I think a good point on that is that Rob Van Dam is coming back. They imagine if Rob Van Dam was debuted back in one night, and then he came back for the first Raw, and then you saw the Wyatt family, it'd be like two debuts on the same Raw. So I think that's why they broke it up. John, what do you think? Do you think that the Wyatt family debuting on the go-home show Money in the Bank was a good idea, or do you think that Money in the Bank was already sold to you, that you didn't, it didn't really matter what they did on the show?
Yeah, the last couple of Money in the Banks have been so good that, you know, they're already sold to me as far as the show goes. You know, the concept of the match itself, you know, plus, like you guys touched on, the fact that Van Damme's coming back at the show, they held Van Damme back. I don't know about you guys, but I live in Brooklyn, and all the local advertisements for Raw Monday night are advertising not just the regular guys, but they're advertising Lesnar, Triple H, McMahon, RVD. So, you know what? If you didn't debut them last night and you debut them next Monday, you're going to have the people, and I'm not accusing anybody on the line right now doing this, but it's just the way it's going to be. You're going to have people that are going to say, oh, the Wyatt family got lost in the shuffle of the McMahons, RVD's return to Raw, the official setup for Punk Lesnar at SummerSlam. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's kind of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. I felt the show, Money in the Bank, was sold to me weeks ago. So you know what, the fact that this show, and they still did a good job of hyping up the Money in the Bank. I mean, we'll see what they do on SmackDown with the World Heavyweight title guys. But as far as the WWE title guys in that match, Cena, Henry, even Del Rio, Ziggler, you know, the Shield got built, you know, got a win to build their momentum heading in. You know what? You know, Axel Miz even got a little, you know, build up on the show. Jericho got a win heading in. They didn't exactly ignore the pay-per-view for the Wyatts. You know, to me, I felt they blended it in, and they were able to play with house money last night, because look at 2010. Look at 2011, last year even. Those shows have been so good that just based on reputation alone and the fact that you have those two matches in it, that show's drawn, and oh, by the way, Van Damme's coming back.
Well, you know, I think I agree with you, John, that I think that I was already sold on the entire show. You know, I'm very happy that they are, you know, promoting the Wyatt family early, and we're going to see what this is going to go forward with. You know, a lot of people thought the Shield versus Kane Undertaker was going to happen, but they might have turned the boat on that. I don't know what that means, turn the boat, but whatever. I'll go with the phrase. So, anyway, let's go forward. Let's talk the next big thing that happened on Raw. We have a brand new general manager. That's right. It's time for Bratitude, because Brad Maddox is now the official Raw general manager. Vicky Guerrero was fired. VI, WWE app. So let's talk about the segment. Now, I know the segment was long, because I already know you're going to say that. But let's talk about how the whole flow of it went. And do you think that this is a good decision to put Brad Maddox Bratitude into the WWE?
I could give two, you know what, about it. This whole story is stupid. But this is just a rant in itself. GMs, brands, two world champions, is stupid. It's all unnecessary. I usually mute the station during these segments.
Okay, Topaz voiced his opinion. And then, Jordan, what do you think of Brad Maddox becoming the new Raw general manager?
Oh, don't get me wrong. Like the other guy said, it was stupid, but it was hilarious. You know, it's just fun seeing her. It got a crowd reaction, right? It may have been stupid, but it got a crowd reaction. I say it was successful. Wrestling's about the crowd, right? It's about entertaining fans and putting on a show and selling. And they sold it.
Right. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. You know, he's got a pretty important backstage role. I think he's the supervisor of digital media of the WWE. So he's got he's not even, you know, for a guy who wanted to become a pro wrestler, and now he's doing, you know, digital media for WWE because of his background, you know, in film, and now he's doing this. You know, he's made it pretty well for himself. But this is the kind of general manager I'm going to see as a guy who doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's going to book, like, matches like a woman against a man. Like, that's how stupid Brad Maddox, I think, is going to be in this role. Because, but it works, and I think it's going to be pretty funny going forward. And,
yeah,
plus, Vicky Guerrero wasn't doing much for me anyway. Sorry about that, Jordan. I did mute you. John, what was your opinion on, you know, Brad Maddox now becoming the official general manager?
I think it's going to be a short-term thing. I think this is just going to be another building block in the ongoing McMahon power struggle situation. I definitely don't see Vicky being gone from TV more than like a couple of weeks. Maddox will be interesting in that role because of his that quirky personality that he portrays. So, you know, I mean, the segment itself, it was what it was. I know there were a lot of rumors that it was going to be like a gut check type segment. Thank God it wasn't. You know, but it's just, you know, the McMahons aren't going anywhere until WrestleMania 30. So just be prepared for, you know, one segment like this a week. And just in the short term, it's about who controls Raw. I'm sure once Booker T comes back, they'll do something similar with him and Teddy Long. So, you know, get ready for at least one more of these. Maddox, he'll be interesting because you know what? Unlike Vicky, when Regal was the GM, occasionally he could wrestle. You know, it's good when you have guys who in a pinch could work in the ring, which Maddox can do. So from that aspect, it won't be bad. But, you know, because you could actually see him get what's coming to him, you know, when it's that time. But I definitely, especially that other segment with Vince and Vicky and Vince with his arm around her consoling her, you know, that's definitely not over. And the little weird thing with Ryback and Vicky in the back was a little interesting because even though he's a heel now, there's still a little unfinished business with Ryback and Maddox, and Vicky might be, maybe Vicky plays on that, and one night we end up with Maddox pretty much face down in a pile of his own blood, wondering who, you know, who took him out, and maybe that's how Vicky gets her position back. You know, oh my God, Maddox can't run the show. We need someone who can run the show, and Vicky just happens to be in the building that night, you know?
Well, do you guys remember the commentary that Brad Maddox did? Did anybody remember? Like, he did some commentary sticks from here, but he was always commentating about something that was totally not relevant to what was going on, or he didn't know what the hell was, like, the move was called. Anybody remember that?
I just remember the god-awful promo with Jericho, and who else was it? Was
well,
it
that
the
was
Miz
on purpose. Do you think that was on purpose? But I think that's on purpose. You know, I think Brad Maddox, the character, is supposed to act that way. That's just how he comes off. He's like a big wrestling fan, but he just doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. You know, that's pretty much how I kind of went through it. Let's go down the matches
that.
Of the night. We'll go through that. You know, we had a couple of matches for Money in the Bank. We had Randy Orton, CM Punk we had Kane against Christian, which obviously we already talked about with the whole Wyatt family situation. And apparently that Christian looks like Michael McGillicuddy, apparently, because his little thing popped up there when that happened, which is quite strange. But also we had the opening match, Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. Tope, what did you think of the wrestling overall tonight?
Wrestling. Good solid wrestling. I actually thought the tag team match between Tons of Funk and Shield was actually Tons of Funk's best tag team match so far. So, yeah, good wrestling.
Okay. Jordan, what did you thought of the wrestling on the show overall, you know, from the first match to the last match with Punk and Orton? What did you think?
Oh, it was a terrific match. A lot of great wrestling, a lot of good moves shown in the ring, a lot of great entertainment. They truly described wrestling entertainment.
Yeah, you know, I actually did enjoy some of the matches on the Raw. I thought a lot of them, the Money in the Bank ones specifically, were really good. The women's one I could have done without, and I could have done without the Alberto Del Rio one. John, what are your thoughts on the wrestling from Monday Night Raw?
I thought top to bottom, it was actually one of the best in-ring shows they've had, even with the Divas match being what it was. You know, just Brian Sheamus was phenomenal. And the fact that Brian beat him was great. Punk Orton was a great match. Christian Kane, you know, was good. Jericho Axel was good. I think like Tove said, the tag match was good. you know, even Del Rio, you know, working with Sin Cara, they have a style that works, and, you know, it was, there really wasn't anything to blow through the DVR in ring-wise last night. I don't think there was.
Okay, so I guess pretty much everybody was pretty happy with the show last night. I thought that Raw was very good. I thought it did build up the Wyatt family. I even remember, you know, a lot of people were watching those promos. I even thought the whole build-up, the idea of having, you know, those promos and the investigator going to the house of them, you know, which would scare me to hell, you know, if I went inside that house probably with those guys in there. But overall, I think Raw was really great. I think WWE did it. What it had to do. I don't think they had to sell the show. You know, Curtis Axel did get his first loss on the show, which, you know, I mean, he didn't lose as an Intercontinental Champion, but to me, Curtis Axel should not beat Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is the first undisputed champion of pro wrestling. He should not lose to him. You know, Jericho's a bigger name than Curtis Axel is. You know, I thought, you know, to me, I thought that was a right move. And it sets up the whole idea between Miz and Curtis Axel. But let's get into, actually, one thing we didn't talk about yet, John Cena versus Mark Henry. Toph, what was your thought on the promo and how that ended up?
No, it was a good promo. And, you know, I've always been a big fan of Henry. I like how my two favorite heels are Henry and Bully Ray. I love how they have both reinvented their characters. I love the weight that they've lost. I love the amount of preparation, and just they've totally changed their works. Bully Ray and Henry have been around for many years, and it seems like they're now just kind of honing into their craft of what makes them so great. And, you know, great promo. You know, my only regret is, unfortunately, you know, especially for Henry, there's a lot of bandwagon fans that all of a sudden like Henry. You know, they never gave him the time of day, and now all of a sudden they like him. Just because he's fighting Cena, you know, like, where were you when he was in ECW and he had a good run? Where were you when he was doing his Hall of Pain in 2011, you know? So I'm a fan of this Henry-Cena angle.
Yeah, so I really agree. I was one of those guys that thought Mark Henry was a joke, and but when I see the guys work, and then when I saw him live at Survivor Series in 2011 was when I went against the Big Show, I really like Mark Henry. I really enjoy his work. Jordan, what's your thought on the whole Mark Henry, John Cena storyline? How do you like the way the promo went?
I like the way the promo went yesterday. It really it gave you a bit of a pound, like our little heartbeat moment there. I think it's going to be a really that promo got more people interested in John Cena and Mark Henry. And with the retirement thing, genius.
Yeah, that will be the catalyst to everything when he did that one promo in the ring where he was retiring and ended up obviously.
That was incredible acting.
That it was. It was really, really well done. You know, probably the best promo he will ever cut in his career. And I would say if you had to put that on the top 10 promos where people believed it, you know, that will be one of them. John, what's your thought on the entire John Cena, Mark Henry segment about, you know, Mark Henry's waited 18 years to get this shot? What's your thoughts on it?
I like it. I love, you know, again, not to repeat what everyone else is saying, but Henry's work, you know, going back, you know, even like Toph said, is starting with his, everyone thinks the ECW run in 08 is what started it. Go back and look at his work 03 into early 04 before he got hurt, and this is where he was. He was paired up with Teddy Long, and this is what Henry was morphing into even almost 10 years ago. The injuries is what sidetracked them. I'll tell you right now, I know it's highly unlikely, but two things. It's Philadelphia, and no one thought Henry would beat Orton 2 years ago for the World Heavyweight title, and he did. I honestly could see, and I haven't thought this for a Cena match in a while, I could see Henry beating him.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to actually get into those predictions right after this, but I have one other person on the call. I would like to bring this person on. 314, area code, 314, I'm sorry. You are on the air of PWP Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
I'm Todd Rick. I write under the name of the Royal Ramble. I don't know if you ever heard of it or not.
No, but, what's your name again?
Todd Rick. I write in the name of the Royal Ramble. Like, I write wrestling blogs
every now
and then.
I did see you on Twitter, yes. Yes, I did see you. Welcome to the show, Todd. We appreciate you calling in. Since we're on this segment right now, what did you think of John Cena and Mark Henry's promo on Raw to lead up to their match at Money in the Bank?
I thought it was good. It could have been better. But the reason why I was calling in was mainly for the Wyatt family angle. But otherwise, Mark Henry and John Cena, I could see Mark Henry winning Sunday, but I can also see, I mean, just a typical John Cena match where he's getting beat up for the whole match and then he comes back at the end and wins it. I mean, that's my opinion towards it.
Well, since we're kind of still on Raw, before we get to the Money in the Bank predictions, what did you like about the Wyatt family? What didn't you like? What are you hoping to go forward with them? Talk about the theme song, everything. What did you think?
So I thought it was great. I thought everything was great. The build-up, the hype, the videos, the promos, the beatdown, everything was great. But the thing that I thought ruined it was the crowd, of course. But,
well,
to me...
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and if the Husky Harris chants continue on Raw this Monday night, I think that he should address it and be like, you know, play like a little story into it that he was Husky Harris once, but then he found himself as Bray Wyatt and, like, have this whole reason why he became Bray Wyatt and how it could be dark and twisted and how he found a family. I feel like it could really play into the character very well if they did it right and did it very dark and told the story of how his character kind of changed.
Well, you know, I'm going to leave it on this note. WWE does a great job building a lot of the heel characters like The Shield, like the Wyatt family, like Curtis Axel. My only concern is that they're doing it for a lot of the heels, but a lot of the faces just don't get those kind of pushes or promo videos. And I wish, you know, Rob Van Dam obviously has gotten that, but he's a returning character. I'm talking about someone brand new. If WWE, the next time they're going to debut a character, they need to get somebody who is going to be a face in the company, because they can't keep doing heel packages all the time for heels. You know, the heels look so much stronger than the baby faces now, which is my biggest problem when it comes to these promos. But otherwise, the production value, I can't complain with. I love every single moment of it. I just wish they would do it for more of the, you know, faces of the entire industry. But that's my opinion. We got to move on because we have 26 minutes left and we have a lot of people on the call. We're going to bring everybody on for this because it's time for Money in the Bank predictions. We're going to go down the line on each match. And then after that, we're going to talk a little bit about TNA and the whole Sting situation because we never really talked about it. So let's start off with the kickoff show with The Shield against the Usos, who are the number one contenders. We're going to go down the line. Tell who do you think is going to win that match? And also, part of that, do you like the idea of the YouTube, you know, beginning of the pay-per-view, like a half hour ahead of time? So, Toph, go ahead.
I think The Shield's going to go over. But the pre-show's fine, but half the time, I don't know if it's just me because I have a good internet connection, but half the time when I try to look at these pre-shows, it never works. It's just loading or buffering forever. How about you guys?
Well, I've had that problem, too. I would say that a lot of people are watching the same feed, and they just can't handle it. You know, one thing that I've always hated about it is that they show the YouTube, Google+, Yahoo, and all those platforms, but they don't do it on the actual pre-show on the actual bought pay-per-view, which is a little concerning to me. I think it would be easier for them, but I guess it's not. Jordan, your opinion of the tag team match for the pre-show?
I think The Shield's going to win it by far. I don't think the Usos are going to win a title yet. I think they just need a bit more time.
Okay. And, John, your opinion on the tag match?
Yeah, I'll make it 3-for-3. I'm going with The Shield. And I actually like the fact that this match is on the pre-show because, you know what, I'd rather have that than Zack Ryder against, insert heel here and, you know, Ryder's got no chance of winning. It makes it watchable. I know Toph said there are some issues with it. Maybe what they could do is instead of doing that pre-taped, you know, preview show that they run on the pay-per-view channel, run the pre-show on there. So, you know, you'll kill some of that streaming traffic. But Yeah, I got the Shield. I'll make it 3-for-3.
Okay, and then Todd, your opinion on what's going to happen on that?
I have to say the Shield is going to win too. I'm kind of torn though that they're on the pre-show. I don't know. I mean, I like it and I don't like it at the same time. I don't like it just because it's the Shield and I feel like they're a lot bigger than the pre-show. But then again, Sheamus was on. Wasn't Sheamus on the last pre-show also? So
yes.
Either way,
yeah.
Nintendo. Yep.
Yeah, and
yeah,
Miz Barrett was the WrestleMania pre-show, so you know what? They're trying to make it more valuable.
They are.
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
That's why they're doing it. I think that if they put a match that just no one cares about, especially a non-title match, I think it kind of hurts it in a way. I think having a strong name on there will help sell the idea of the YouTube show. I just wish they would just do it on the pre-taped pay-per-view. I think that would be nice. While we're talking predictions, we have another phone call. This is what happens when TLD is the host. 614, you are on the phone right now with PWP Radio. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, it's 614.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Yes.
I am so psyched for Money in the Bank.
Good. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Joe Dishman. I'm calling from Australia.
Australia?
Yes, down under. I'm not native. I'm only here, believe me. I wouldn't choose to be here, but I am.
Oh, well, cool. It's nice that we have international base here for PWP Radio calling from Australia, even though you're not from there. But anyway,
no.
Tell us about Money in the Bank. Tell us about the pre-show, the tag team match. What are your thoughts going into it?
Well, the tag team match, you can't say the Usos haven't been pushed. I mean, they've been pushed to the sky right now. I don't see any way that they can't lose, that they can lose this. They've got to have it. They got the face paint. They've got, they got the pedigree. You figure out the, and an apostrophe in their name. They're like the Usos, like they possess them. So there's no way they're not going to win this.
Well, Joe, I there you go. Joe is saying the obvious facts. That the Usos are going to win. I, however, am going to go on the Shield's side. I think they need to build.
You're taking
the
Shield? Have you seen
wrestling
before?
I have. Yes, I have. I've been watching it for so long.
Do you know how this works? I mean, I know they're bigger, but it's not real. I mean, the Usos have been, they've been laying the groundwork for this for years. I mean, they've had all these wins on Saturday Morning Slam. There's no way they're not built this up.
I can't believe you just said Saturday Morning Slam.
If you don't understand, tag team wrestling always goes to people with face paint. Do you not remember the Road Warriors?
You know, they could be the next LOD, you know. Now
they're brothers. They won.
You're funny, man. You're like the best caller we've ever had.
Yeah. I love Joe, ladies and gentlemen. Joe's a new caller from Australia. So let's get down to the line to the next match we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about AJ Lee versus Caitlin. We'll go down the line. Toph, your thoughts on that match, if you have one.
I totally forgot that was on the card. It's on the card for real?
Okay, so I guess you have no opinion.
I guess AJ is going to win then.
How about this? I'll flip a coin, and whatever I flip, that's who you pick.
Okay, head says it's AJ.
I need a coin. Someone get me a coin.
Whatever,
okay, we'll
I'll just predict
to
AJ to win, just because.
All right, AJ to win.
Yeah, just
right,
because,
we'll
yeah.
How about this? How about we go down the line, we'll flip a coin, and we'll figure out who the winner is, all right? So, Jordan, what's your opinion on what's going to happen with the Divas match?
Oh, I think it's going to be Caitlin. Actually, no, it's going to be AJ, because Caitlin's been mad enough, and I think AJ is going to do like a low blow or something and retain the title, and then Caitlin's going to chase after her again.
Okay, well, we're going to go forward. John, what's your opinion? Who do you think is going to win, AJ or Caitlin?
AJ.
AJ's going to win. Todd, what's your opinion on it?
I'm going to have to go with AJ. I think she's the hottest diva right now. She's probably the hottest diva since Trish Stratus or Lita has been around. She's definitely one of the most popular, so I'm going to have to go with her.
Okay, so you like crazy chicks, Todd?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so I'm going to flip it in the air. You call it. What do you want to do for heads, AJ or Caitlin?
Heads for AJ, I guess.
Oh, of course you go heads with AJ. Okay, well, AJ wins. All right, there you go. So, all right. So, heads, AJ will win. I will go with that prediction. I think AJ will still continue forward. Let's talk Intercontinental title match. Curtis Axel, the champion, versus Miz, the challenger. So, who's going to win?
It's too soon for Axel to lose, but he'll win.
Okay, so Axel wins. Jordan.
Axel.
Axel, John.
Axel.
John, Axel, Todd.
Curtis Axel.
Okay, everyone's going with Axel. I'm a Miz fan, as everyone knows, and you all should know that because I'm awesome at TLD Wrestling. But I'm going to go with Miz because he deserves it. He's a Miz, and he's awesome. So Chris Jericho versus Ryback, a very interesting combination of a match to have on the show. Toph, what do you think, Jericho or Ryback?
That's the hardest match to predict because all these guys ever do is lose on pay-per-view. This is the hardest match for me, so I'm just going to go ahead and say Ryback just because of the Vicky thing.
Again? Okay, we'll go with I could see that. We don't know what's going forward with that. It was weird to see Ryback consulting Vicky. It was a little strange. Jordan, who are you going with?
I'm a big Jericho fan. He's from my hometown of Winnipeg, but I think I'm going to see Ryback win it because Ryback's strong and everything. I just don't think Jericho. I just can't picture Jericho beating Ryback at this time.
Wow. Okay, John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going Ryback as well. I think it starts the rebuilding of him.
Todd.
Ryback. Jericho's all about putting over young stars right now, so definitely Ryback.
Okay, well, I think Ryback is a popular choice on these. That one I could see Ryback winning, but I would not be shocked if Jericho pulled
exactly.
up the victory. Ryback's been kind of doing – well, Ryback's been kind of doing this little, like, you know, he's a monster, but he's been kind of being a pussy lately. But anyway, who knows? Going forward, now we're going to get to some of the matches that's going to be pretty hard to predict. Alberto Del Rio versus Dolph Ziggler for the world title. Now, I'm not talking about who you want to win. I'm talking about who you think is going to win. So, Toph, who do you think is going to win that match?
I don't think this is hard to predict at all. Ziggler's winning. No questions asked.
Oh, okay. Well, Toph's going down with Ziggler. Jordan, who are you picking?
I'm going to pick Ziggler.
Ziggler, is that who you want to win or you think is going to win?
No, he's going to win. I know it.
So if you were going to book it, you would pick Ziggler.
Too much hype for Ziggler right now. I think it's going to happen again.
Okay, John.
Ziggler by DQ.
So we don't see a penalty.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, they can do that. I could definitely see that. Definitely could see that coming. Todd, what do you think? Do you think he's going to win the title, or do you think he's going to get a DQ finish here?
I think Del Rio will win thanks to AJ. I think AJ is going to screw over Ziggler.
Ah, yes. You know, that's the one thing that why I believe that Alberto Del Rio will win, although what's kind of changing my mind is the next match we're going to talk about, which is the SmackDown Money in the Bank, because we do have a Money in the Bank match where most or all of the people in the match are heels on the SmackDown side, and they're going for the World Heavyweight title, which is why I kind of thought Ziggler might win that match, but AJ might screw him out of the Money in the Bank. Someone could cash it in. So let's talk about the people in it. Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro. A lot of people to choose. Let's see who's going to make their predictions and see who's going to be right this Sunday. So, who do you think is going to win the SmackDown Money in the Bank? All the men in this match, you might want to remember, have never won except for Jack Swagger. He's the only one that's won a Money in the Bank contract. And I don't see him winning this year. But, Toph, who do you think is going to win?
Oh, man, this match has, like, zero build. So I'm just going to go ahead and just say Cesaro.
Cesaro, okay, so you have to watch SmackDown to get the build going on that, I think. But
no, I'm only picking Cesaro because he's the only reasonable choice. Him, Cesaro, or Sandow are the only reasonable choices unless they do something on SmackDown.
Okay, well, that's what we have to tune in to watch. Jordan, who do you think is going to win? We got Cesaro as one of the picks.
Let me think for a sec. I think I think Swagger's going to win it again.
Okay, we got a double winner with Swagger. What about you, John?
Going Barrett.
You're going Barrett.
And the only reason why I'm going Barrett is I'm picturing the cash-in, and that is Barrett has the music that the minute you hear it, you're going to realize, oh, shit, this is it. Like, kind of like Ziggler the
what?
Night after WrestleMania.
What are you talking about? He changes his theme song every month.
Well, if he keeps this song, it's good, you know.
It's worse than his previous.
Ladies and gentlemen, John has officially announced it. The most recognizable theme in the WWE is Wade Barrett.
All right.
The one that
hear me out.
Every month.
Hear me out. If Ambrose wins, you've got time to escape because Ambrose has to come down through the crowd. Okay? Swagger's not winning. Cesaro, not yet. I think they're going to rebuild him with Cutler, but not yet. Cody Rhodes, I hear that music, I'm not scared. Sandow's music, not going to get any attention. But if that and Fandango, whatever, I think last night was a big telling of where Fandango's headed in that backstage segment when Barrett just knocked him out. I think Fandango's done after Money in the Bank, but that's a different story. You hear that Barrett music, like Ziggler beats Del Rio, let's say at like SummerSlam, a Night of Champions, after like a hard-fought battle, and all of a sudden you hear that God Save the Queen music, and Barrett's going to come rushing to the ring. You know Ziggler's a dead man.
With all due respect, I'm very confident about 90% of people have no idea what Barrett's theme sounds like right now.
It's pretty good, though.
Go on the WWE website. You'll find out. Todd, what's your
on YouTube right now? You guys
going to win Money in the Bank?
Throw up in the air. I guess I'm going to have to go with Barrett.
You know, I'm surprised a lot of people didn't pick Fandango or Dean Ambrose as one of the guys. Remember, the Shield could get involved in this match. Why not the Shield getting involved and possibly having, you know, one of these teams go face? I mean, if any team was going to go face, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow would meet to me via face team out of anybody out of this group. So
I think the reason no one's going for Ambrose is because what makes the Shield different is so far at this point in time, they haven't done any It's All About Me promos. I mean, they seem to be complacent with helping each other. They were waiting for that tension of one of them thinking they're better than the other two, and it hasn't happened yet.
Right. Well,
although an Ambrose
could
win
see,
could lead to that. Now, if you put it like that.
No, you can't.
If you put it like that.
If
Ambrose has
that
briefcase, he could turn around
with the theme music.
No, that's a good point by Toph. He's right. It's never been me. It's always us. But you put the briefcase in Ambrose's hands, then maybe you can create that. Toph could be onto something there.
Well, I honestly think Ambrose is going to be the winner of this match. I think he's the only reason why a lot of people aren't picking him is because he's already got a belt. And I think that doesn't mean he can't be a champion, because I do see the Shield getting involved. Even though those are all heels in the match, you know, I think the biggest heel, if any of them, was Ambrose in this match. So I'm going to go with Dean Ambrose on this match. Let's move forward and talk about the two main events. I'm going to go with the WWE title, John Cena, Mark Henry. Toph, what do you think is going to win?
Based on the way we saw Raw right now, I'm going with Cena winning.
Okay, Jordan.
I'm going to see Henry do it. It's going to be a shocking victory, I think.
Henry's going to win. John, who do you think is going to win?
I really want to say Henry, I really do, but the failed attitude adjustment last night, just right there was the dead giveaway that Cena, when it matters, will get him up and get him over. And Cena's going to get shot in Philly if we're lucky.
Well, and Todd, what do you think?
Just like the guy said before me, he said it perfectly. The failed attitude adjustment did it for me last night. John Cena's going. He's winning.
I think that Mark Henry is going to win that match. I think they're going to give him his moment. It's going to be in Philly where we know the crowd is not going to be a pro-Cena crowd. You know, I truly feel that Mark Henry will become the WWE champion. It's okay to lose it the next month. You know, for me, I just think that having the belt once – is, you know, after they pay this guy $1 million for 16 years every year, I think he should get the WWE title at least once. So, and they can always play in other ways of getting around that. They also, I think match placement will also have a lot to do with it as well, where you can kind of tell who's going to win, who's going to lose, which is why I put this one first, because I think Mark Henry's going to win. But the main event, at least in my opinion, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, possibly Kane, and Rob Van Dam. So this one's going to be tough to pick. Which one are you going to go with?
Oh, man, I had a really bad feeling last night. I don't want him to win, but my gut tells me Randy Orton is winning this.
Wow, what made you think Randy Orton?
Because it's the best way to turn him heel, to have him win this Money in the Bank and to have him cash in on an injured John Cena. The only way it can believably work.
Oh, well, that could definitely be a good – that could definitely work. You know, they don't have – obviously they can cash in any time, but – Jordan, who do you think is going to win?
I think I'm going to see Sheamus win it.
Sheamus, wow. He's been kind of out of the loop. Why did you pick Sheamus?
I picked Sheamus because he hasn't been going up late. He hasn't been getting a push lately. I think this is going to be his push, and he's going to get that moment again holding the title. That's just my opinion.
John, who do you think is going to win? We have a split right now.
I was set until Toph kind of put that there with Orton. I'm still going Daniel Bryan. I think there's just too much going on. You know, he's too hot right now. And that match at SummerSlam would be something else. Plus, you got the whole aspect of they're going to tie it into the Total Divas show. And, you know, but damn, that's a good point by Toph about that's a perfect way to turn Orton heel. You know, a hard fought.
What he said
Cena.
In that promo, that's what did it for me. When he cut that promo, when he said, if I win, unlike the other people before me, I will not hesitate to cash in. That right there just tells me, okay, this is leading to a heel turn. He's going to win.
Well, we'll see.
I'm still going to go Brian. I think there's just too much on the table with that. But, yeah, that Orton's a very close second.
Todd. Who are you going with?
I'm going to have to go with Daniel Bryan. His push, he's gotten too big of a push recently not to win this match. And there's always that wild card factor that Bray Wyatt could be in this match too, taking Kane's spot. So, I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan.
We could see that. You know, I could even think of if Kane is taken out of this match, I don't think the Wyatts will even be in it, but I think we'll have another surprise entrant. That will take away from Kane. That will take away from Rob Van Dam's coming back a little bit. But my opinion, I would not be surprised if Brock Lesnar even shows up. He is advertised for the next night, but with the whole thing going on with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar, don't be surprised if Brock Lesnar takes that spot, you know, in Kane too. I don't know why I'm having that feeling, but I think it might happen.
I think Lesnar will screw over Punk.
He could. I could definitely see that happening.
I think Heyman's going to screw Punk, and then that's going to lead to Lesnar coming out Monday night when Punk finally goes ballistic on Heyman. But, yeah, Heyman's definitely going to show up at the main event.
I think this is going to be the main event of the show. Do you guys all agree?
Yes.
No. The WWE title is John Cena will main event.
Well, it's hard. This is a very tough pay-per-view. Money in the Bank's always tough to find out what match will main event.
Whatever,
you know,
Cena is,
show.
Will always main event. Unless it's dealing with Taker, Cena will always main event.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, there could be a lot of surprises in this match, definitely. But the final thing.
Hey, can I post something real quick?
5 minutes. Well, we only got 5 minutes left. We got to talk a little bit of TNA and Sting.
All right, real quick though, Will. Anyone think we're going to see a cash in Sunday?
No.
If it happens, it'll be in the WWE title match.
Match placement. It's all about match placement for me.
Okay.
I just don't know who's going to cash in. It's hard until you know the order of the matches. It's going to be tough to figure that part out, at least in my opinion. That's why I think that, you know, if the SmackDown goes first, I could see it. You know, it's really tough. You know, I think there's always a chance, right? That's the beauty part about Money in the Bank. So let's talk very last minute. We only have about 5 minutes left on the show. A lot of rumors going around that Sting may be leaving the TNA contract that comes to WWE, especially at WrestleMania against The Undertaker. Toph, do you think that it's going to happen?
We get this every year. I mean, come on. How many times are we going to get this? It's like just like the recurring joke of Cena turning heel at Mania every year. We get is Sting leaving TNA. It's not happening. Just get over it. Sting's never going to WWE. Let's bury it and let's move on.
Okay, that's Toph's opinion. Jordan, do you think Sting's going to go to WWE this year with all the rumors going around?
He's too old, man. Like, he's like, how old is he now? Is he like 55 years old? Like, he just makes his WWE debut at 55. I just can't picture that.
Well, you know, at least in my opinion, I know they offered him a contract, and Sting publicly said that they did. So I don't think they care. I think they want the Sting lineage. John, what is your opinion?
Yeah, I think this is the year. I think with the recent TNA releases, including Morgan today, I think, and all the stories about guys being back, old back pay, that is one contract that TNA would love to get out of. And also, I just think from Sting and a WWE aspect, forget the fact that he's 54, forget the fact that he's not what he was in the ring. There's just too much money on the table for both for them not to get together at this point. There's just too much money to be made on both ends.
Yeah, I just read the article about Morgan doing this. I did not know that. Todd, what's your opinion? Sting going to WWE this year?
I mean, it would be a huge money-making, like the guy said before, but at the same time, it's almost too little too late. He's too old, but I think they could possibly, if he did, they could possibly put on a great match. Who knows?
I think it's the nostalgia that makes it, for me, the best thing. I do think that they're going to do what they can to get WrestleMania 30 to be a big match. And I think getting Sting is the right deal. And to be honest, TNA could deal with that Sting. I just don't think they need Sting right now. They have nothing. Sting has not brought any ratings up, and I just don't see the Mafia going past this Bound for Glory. I don't see anything happening beyond that. But that was our show tonight. I want to thank everybody for calling in. It's a great show. Money in the Bank, we do plan on having a post-show, but more importantly, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, we're placing, oh, you didn't know, is a little segment called Shooting with TLD. What do you guys think about that?
Don't get too comfortable in that spot, because after the summer, we're coming back.
That's fine. I have no problem with that, but Shooting TLD is going to be about backyard wrestling. I'm actually going to shoot a talk about backyard wrestling, my opinions of it. And this will be me going off on a lot of different things. So I hope you guys tune in tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. It's a half-hour show, so it's not that long, but you can always call into the show, 760-888-5749. You can always call in if you want to voice your opinion, if you agree or disagree with my thoughts. But it's going to be a different side of me you guys have never heard before because I was given the opportunity to do it. I'll be going to Money in the Bank this weekend along with Jay Leto, who is stuck in a Philly, which really sucks for him right now, but he's out there, stuck in Philadelphia. Sorry about that, Jay. Hope you make it home safe and don't get a ticket. But we will see you guys next week. We are going to be tomorrow night. We're also going to – I don't know if we're going to spoilers this week or not, but we hope we might. I don't know. I'm not the guy in charge. But make sure you go to ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. We have an Amazon store. Make sure you buy anything from the Amazon store. We get a little bit of the profits back. Check us out on iTunes. You can download any episode from iTunes. We have them all on there, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. Check out our YouTube page where we have video interviews. We've interviewed some great people over the last couple of months and years. And this Saturday night is me, TLD, in action, live show, 7 p.m., Morganville, $10 a ticket. It's going to be my final show. All four of you guys should come out, including Joe from Australia. You all going to come out, right?
Sure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for your support. Yeah, I appreciate it. All right.
Can we play Leave the Memory Alone as you leave the ring?
That'd be great. I don't care if you're playing. I'll be fine. I'm not in charge. In fact, I played all the videos for this shit. So, anyways, thank you guys very much for calling. This is PWP Radio. That stupid woman in my ears telling me 10 seconds. Take care, guys. Have a great night, and make sure you go to TLDWrestling.com.